at Coach's Show to join John Coffey and Matt Gorder at Carson Sports Grill.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show as we broadcast live every Thursday evening at this time from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And we got another good show on hand for you tonight. Tonight we'll be talking with Northwest Athletic Director Mel Churchman along with Northwest Women Head Volleyball Coach Amy Worth and Senior Quarterback Trevor Adams along with Northwest Head Football Coach Adam Durrell. So stay tuned for that. And a reminder that support for the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the student body, Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides a Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. Support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at the on the Maryville Square. Open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. And for dine-in or carry-out, more information available at 660-582-2699. Again, thanks to Carson, Renee, and the wait staff here at Carson's for all the work they do throughout the evening. And again, don't forget, if you have any questions for our guest tonight, pick up a question card and pass those along and write out that question. We'll pass along to our guest as well. So, again, to keep that in mind. And Matt Gorder, we've got another good show on hand, and one of our guests, Trevor Adams, has had a pretty good week, I would say.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And a neat week. You know, you don't hear as much about the academic side of athletics as you probably should, but these athletes work hard, obviously, on the field, on the court and that sort of thing, but they do off the field as well. And Trevor and Eric Reimer as well being recognized this week because of their academic work as far as the football team goes.
Now, again, we're talking volleyball tonight along with football, but basketball is underway. Both teams got off to a good start last week. The Northwest men with that exhibition win over Graceland, and the Northwest women, a great performance going over to Illinois State, a Division I school, and played very well against a very, very good team in Illinois State.
Yeah, just a five-point loss there. Typically in those exhibition games, whether you're playing, say a Division I school in exhibition, or if you're playing a school that's smaller, it doesn't really matter. Results, I don't think, are the big thing there. The coaches just want to learn more about their team in a game situation, and obviously it's an opportunity to for fans to get first looks at those teams, and I think there was a lot accomplished over the weekend with those games, and hopefully that means we're going to be off to a good start in basketball as well.
And the regular season gets underway on Saturday for the Northwest men. They'll play in a classic hosted by Southwest Minnesota. They play Upper Iowa Saturday afternoon, and then the host school, Southwest Minnesota, on Sunday. And the women play Saturday evening over in Quincy against a very good Quincy University team.
Yeah, and that's just it. They're going to see some good competition right out of the gate. You want to see some good non-conference competition so you're ready to go, because we have seen year in and year out the MIAA is going to be a grind, and you've got to be at full stride right from the start in the middle of the month.
Then we've got a good show on hand for tonight. Some giveaways that we'll be handing out to the guests here at Carson Sports Grill. And when we come back, we'll be talking football with Northwest senior quarterback Trevor Adams. So we'll be back and talk with Trevor right after this timeout on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's game comes from Taco John's at 1015 South Main in Maryville. Serving breakfast and dinner, Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday from 7 a.m. until midnight and until 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. More at tacojohns.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell and St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee in Maryville. Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in store at Maryville Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information is available at 660-582-7196. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center and the Prinery House. More information at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
Welcome back to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Right now we are talking with our student athlete of the week that we talk with each and every week, a student athlete from Northwest Missouri State. And this week, I'd like to welcome to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show microphones starting quarterback for the Bearcat football team, Trevor Adams. And Trevor, good to have you with us here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, Trevor, you've had kind of a pretty good couple weeks here as far as some honors coming your way. I believe last week the National Football Foundation, National Scholar Athlete Award, and then this week, or actually today, I guess, the Academic All-District squad came out. You were on that, and on Monday being named MIAA Offensive Player of the Week, so not a bad few days for you.
Yeah, it's been really a blessing just to get these awards, and the academic awards are always great, and then you know, the athletic award, the MIAA Player of the Week, was really cool. And, you know, I think that goes to show, just, you know, for our offense, you know, I get it, but you know, it shows the hard work that the whole offensive unit has been putting in, and so that was it was really cool to receive that.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a moment. I want to talk a bit, though, right now about the National Football Foundation and the National Scholar Athlete Program. And that's a heck of an honor you're getting right there.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
And just talk about what that means to you. A postgraduate scholarship and a finalist now for the William B. Campbell Trophy Award, recognizing an individual as the best scholar athlete in the nation. Let's kind of talk about that honor and what that means to you.
Yeah, it means so much. You know, Coach T, he told me about it before the season started, and, you know, and then I kind of didn't even really think about it after that. You know, I knew it was kind of cool to be nominated for it, but then whenever I found out last week that I actually was one of the finalists, just really a feeling of being overwhelmed, and, you know, just kind of just shows that the hard work in the classroom has paid off, too, and so just very thankful to win that award. You know, the postgraduate scholarship is huge. Maybe that's going to help so much, and so very thankful to win that, and even more just to be able to represent Northwest in this community by receiving that award, because you know, it's all divisions across the whole nation, so being able to represent this community is awesome that I'm able to do that.
And it really shows that there's more than just football when you come to school at Northwest.
Right, yeah, exactly, and that's what's so cool about you know, just with our team, and you know, what our coaches tell us is, you know, academics are, you know, are a huge part of being an all-around student athlete, and so it's really cool to be able to, you know, kind of, you know, be able to win that award that kind of shows that.
And let's just talk about now on the field, coming back after an injury, back into the matchup on Saturday with the win over Washburn, and pretty impressive performance there, 23 of 27 passing, 306 yards and 3 touchdowns, and really came back in pretty much right on the money there after being out for a week.
Yeah, I was just so excited to get back and be able to play. It's so tough just, you know, sitting over there watching, you know, knowing, you know, especially with being your senior year and, you know, our team played great and offensively did some really good things against Southern the week before. And so, you know, it was great just to get back out there and kind of just help things, you know, keep rolling. And I feel like our preparation last week was huge for going into Washburn. You know, they had a great record going into the game, and it was a really good team, you know, a great opponent. And we did some really good things and just preparing that week to get ready for it. And so it was great just to get back in there, get into the flow of things again, and just go out there and, you know, just play with passion. That's what we try to do.
Hey, and you really didn't seem to miss a beat for being out that week.
Well, thanks. I mean, you know, I think it just goes to show, you know, the coaching staff really puts us in a good position every time we take the field. You know, it's not, well, you know, good luck, guys, here's the game plan. It's, you know, they know what we're going to, you know, go against and what to expect, and they tell that, you know, they talk that over with us. And so it really, they prepare us, you know, going into it. So, you know, I felt very confident going into the game, even having missed, you know, kind of a game and a half or so due to injury. And so, you know, it was great just feeling confident going into it, knowing that just kind of try not to skip a beat, but just go right back into it.
I saw a few new wrinkles out of the offense last Saturday, I thought.
What's that?
I thought we saw a few new wrinkles out of the offense there Saturday with some different things you guys were doing.
Yeah, we did, and I think that just kind of shows that there's different, you know, dimensions to our offense that, you know, that we can bring, you know, each Saturday. And, you know, with Brady, what he can do, he's done awesome all season, so it's great having, you know, somebody like that that can, you know, even whenever I, you know, got hurt, you know, he came in and played awesome. And so it's so huge to have that, you know, just different balances to the offense that you can bring to the field.
I think we saw both Brady and you a couple times. We even go out out as a wide receiver there. Just talk about your skills as a wide receiver.
Well, skills not really a word for it, but just kind of the way that we, you know, mix it up, kind of keep the defense on their toes, you know, and just kind of with that set that we have in, and when Brady comes in, and you know, we run a lot of different things off of that, and so I mean, I just think it makes defenses, you know, that we play, you have to prepare for that even more, you know, going into that week. And so if we can, you know, make them have to spend more time on preparing for something else, you know, that's good for us.
And I would think too, one of the things that makes that successful is just the relationship you have with Brady, where there doesn't seem to be any jealousy or anything there, that both of you come out and are able to do some things at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's there's not really any hard feelings whatsoever, because he's earned his way on to play on, you know, play on Saturdays too. And the thing is, we're really good friends, and he does an awesome job each week. And you know, I think it gives our team, our whole team, more confidence knowing that there's multiple guys that can get back there and do a good job. And so, you know, there's never really been any, you know, jealousy in that. And I think that shows just, you know, the kind of, you know, kind of guy he is too, that, you know, he's unselfish with this playing time. And I think that's something that we have to be as a team, at every position, is unselfish if we really, you know, want to reach our goals.
And I think that's something that we've seen through the years at that quarterback position. And now you're in the starting quarterback position role, but there was a time when Blake Christopher was in front of you. And it just seems like you're seeing that type of leadership out of the quarterback position through the years.
Yeah, absolutely. When BC was a senior, you know, I knew how tough it was for him having to, you know, deal with those injuries. And so, you know, I was able to play, you know, most of the season that year. So kind of now I'm on the different end of it now. You know, so really it's just trying to encourage Brady just to, you know, go out there and play his best, knowing that, you know, he doesn't have to do anything extra. You know, he's already a special player. And so, you know, I think that really, you know, just makes our team even better, knowing that we, you know, that there's two guys that can, you know, do some good things back there.
I would imagine too, one of the things that makes your job a little easier too is the fact that you're able to go to so many different people in the offense to throw passes to. I think I mentioned a little bit earlier, 9 different receivers last week, and that's really nothing different from any other week where you guys spread it around so much.
Yeah, and that's what's so great, is we've got so many guys that we can get the ball to on the perimeter and just let them go. And so it makes my job a lot easier, just, you know, knowing that, okay, they're, you know, they don't have to key in on one guy, because we're throwing to that same guy every time. If we can get it to 9 guys every game, or 10 or 11, that's awesome, because that means we're spreading it around and keeping the defense guessing. Because I think it can be easy for a defense to game plan if there's, you know, maybe 1 or 2 guys that they're going to throw to every time. And when we've got, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys that are going to catch the ball or have a chance to, I think it really just keeps the defense on their toes.
And it kind of goes into what you're talking about, the quarterback position too, where you've got some receivers that have to be unselfish out there to know that maybe they don't get quite as many touches in the Northwest offense as they might if they've gone somewhere else, but you're still looking at that ultimate goal of coming up with W's.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Our receiving core, you know, Coach Osborne does an awesome job of getting them ready each week. And you know, Clint Utter, he's the lone senior at receiver, and he's done an awesome job of leading those guys and showing them, you know, what it's like to be an unselfish receiver, because it can be tough, you know, to practice all week and, you know, maybe get 2 or 3 catches or maybe none that week. But those guys do a great job of, you know, being ready. If the ball is coming to them, they're ready to catch it. And that makes my job so much easier, you know, knowing that those guys have confidence in me, and we all have confidence in, you know, every receiver that we take, that they're going to go out there and do the best they can.
Another aspect of the offense I think you have to feel pretty good about as well is the offensive line. They do a pretty good job of protecting you back there, too.
They do a great job. They really do. And, yeah, this year's been so much fun playing behind those guys. And, you know, every year that I've been able to play, the offensive line has been great. You know, AD's done an awesome job of getting those guys ready. But this year, it's just, you know, so much, you know, I don't know, it's really special to me. You know, I have a great relationship with each one of those guys, and they work their tail off each week to be ready. You know, and you can see that in practice, you know, that they work hard, you know, in the film room, and then just being ready to go. You know, it's not, you know, we'll show up Saturday and do it. You know, it's, we're putting the work, you know, from the first of the week, you know, on in, because, you know, it means a lot to them, and that's what's cool, is playing behind a line that, you know, that it means a lot to them, that they want to protect us. It makes it, you know, I want to go out and play my hardest for them too.
Now let's talk about the Washburn game and the preparation leading up to the win against the team that came in undefeated last week, a team that defensively had not been allowing many points on the board, but you're able to come out and move the ball and really get some things going offensively. What were some of the things you saw last week in preparing for Washburn that you thought you could take advantage of on Saturday?
Yeah, You know, I think the just kind of based on formations that we line up in, that some of the stuff that they did, we were able to take advantage of, whether it was if they rolled a safety down or, you know, if they played a corner off or in something. And even, you know, how many guys they'll bring in the box. Just able to being able to key in on that, you know, in preparation for the throughout the week and then, you know, going into the game and then they're doing that stuff. It really just... You know, it was a good week for us because we were able to kind of exploit just different things that they did. And, you know, they were really good defense. They had a great D-line. They had their linebackers, you know, flew around. And but there was a few things that we were able just to take advantage of formationally that really helped us, you know, whether it was get one over the top in the pass game or, you know, seeing how they were playing the box and running one up the middle. And we were able to do both of that. And so it was good to see how that played out, you know, knowing that we had been preparing for it all week.
Now, this week you've got the Emporia State, a team that's been doing a lot of things offensively, and perhaps it's overshadowed their defense, but they come in with pretty good defense this week.
They do. They got a lot of guys that can fly around. You know, they're very athletic. Up front, they play hard and do a great job. And then at the linebacking core, they read where the ball's going really well. And that's something I've noticed on film is they go to the ball very fast, and they're ball hawks. And so, you know, something that we've been working on is just taking care of the ball. We got to, you know, we've coach preaches that to us each week is, you know, win the turnover battle. And so, you know, that's something that we've just got to continue to keep doing. You know, knowing our defense is going to play well like they have been all season. And as we go up against a defense that's been playing pretty well all season, you know, we just got to do the little things right and then just go out there and have fun and do our best.
We talk about having fun. How much fun is it the next to last weekend of the season be playing for another conference title? And when you prepare for a game like this late in the season, how much fun are you guys having right now?
Oh, we're having a lot of fun. You know, even, you know, just coming from practice, we had an awesome practice today. It was so much fun just, you know, going out there and that's what's so cool is every guy shows up with the mentality that we got to work today to get better because if we got to get better to be where we want to be, but also with the attitude of, you know, let's have fun while we're doing it. You know, and our coaches, you know, they let us have fun and they have fun with us, and that's what makes this team so special is that we're out there, you know, busting our tails to get better but having a lot of fun doing it. And I feel like the chemistry on the team is just at an all-time high right now, and I think it's only going to get better as we continue to work hard each day and get better.
Now, as we opened up, we were talking a little bit about academics. We might close with that as well. Coming from Odessa, Texas, what were some of the main things that brought you from Texas all the way up to Maryville, Missouri?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a few things that we prayed about as a family specifically, you know, and you know, coaching staff was one. Academically, that it would be a good place. And then the third one was that it'd be a place that I felt like I would fit in. And then with our coaching staff, I couldn't have asked for better guys to play with. It's or play for. It's been great. You know, from Coach Churchill to AD, playing under both coaches has been awesome. And being able to build relationships with all the coaches has been phenomenal. And then academically, you know, I feel like it really gave me a place to really excel. And I don't say that to talk about myself, but just with the teachers that I've had, you know, and then the class sizes and stuff, it's really just been best for me. And the thing is, I've been able to build great relationships with all my teachers. And the thing is that the teachers want the students to excel and do well. And that's what I've really loved about this place, because I've got friends that are at big schools. My brother's at TCU right now, and, you know, going to the classes with 300, 400 people, and, you know, and I'm going with, you know, 40 or 50, and I've got a personal relationship with my teacher, and they care about how I do, and they, you know, they care about me outside of the classroom too. And that was really something that I'd heard about coming into school here, and then it really held true throughout my career here, is just being able to you know, just get that support from the teachers that they want us to do well. And if we'll put in the work, you know, they're going to see us through, that they're going to help us too. And then the third thing, I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better place to fit in. This school, this community has been amazing. It's kind of sad. I was thinking about it earlier today that I've only got a little bit of time left. I try not to think about it too much, but it really has been incredible, my time here. Maryville has been awesome. And so, yeah, those were the three things specifically that we prayed about and that, you know, God was faithful in.
I understand that you'll be graduating in December with a degree in biology.
Yes. Yeah, biology with a psychology emphasis, so kind of like a biopsych major, you could say.
And what's the future play out for you right now?
Well, I've been accepted to chiropractic school at Parker University in Dallas, Texas, so I'll be heading back home, a little bit closer to home. that scholarship will really help with that because it's kind of expensive. So I'm very excited about that. So that's the plan now. It's about 3.5 years. So it's kind of a little bit of a bummer knowing I have more school after this. But I think it'll be okay because it'll be stuff that I'm really excited about studying and looking forward to learning more about.
All right. Well, Trevor, thanks a lot for being with us. And we'll look forward to watching you on Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Trevor Adams, who's this week's MIAA Offensive Player of the Week. And starting quarterback for the Bearcats and getting ready for that big matchup with Emporia State. So, again, thanks to Trevor for being with us on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Stay tuned. We've got much more coming up on the show right after this timeout. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville. Supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com. Support for today's game comes from Farmers Mutual Insurance Company of Nottoway County, insuring homes in town or out and farms in Northwest Missouri since 1891. You can find agent information available at FMNottoway.com. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at TriStateFordLincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Medical Center in Albany. Northwest Medical Center offers inpatient, outpatient, home health, and emergency services with clinics located in Albany, Stanbury, and Grant City. More at northwestmedicalcenter.org.
Today's game is being underwritten by O'Malley Beverage in St. Joseph, Missouri. O'Malley is the region's supplier of Anheuser-Busch products and would like to remind you to drink responsibly and to always designate a driver. More information at anheuserbusch.com.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville for the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show as we turn our attention to volleyball with a couple of regular season matches still on the schedule and Northwest Volleyball Coach Amy Wirth joining us here on the Coaches Show this evening. Coach, I know the last half of October was a little bit of a struggle, but you guys really have started off November well. A couple of wins included in the three matches in November. Are you kind of seeing with this the latter part of the season things turn for the team a little bit?
It was nice being home. You know, we talked the last time, and it was, we're coming home now. You know, and it's nice to be able to be home in a familiar, you know, place where we can sleep in our bed and we can be at home for longer periods of time. You know, we took a trip down to Central on Tuesday, but we're back already, and it's nice to be able to have these days to get ready for Kearney. I think that the big thing that we've been pushing is finishing the season strong and getting into the tournament, which is, you know, still a possibility for us from the standpoint of the standings. You know, it doesn't really leave room for error from the standpoint of we need every match we can get. If we get one of those matches, then against SBU, even, we have a good chance of getting in tied, you know. So scenarios are scenarios. But we're really focusing, and I'm getting them to focus on finishing strong.
So I've always wondered, you're talking about home. Obviously, at Bearcat Arena with the rafters, that's something a little different for volleyball. Is there any other places you guys go that has something unique like that?
Central Oklahoma has a scoreboard. Okay. It definitely creates problems for them, and I think they have some rafters. For us, most of the time, it actually helps us. You know, we are used to it every day. I can tell you, we probably hit those things about 7 times today.
Yeah.
And so from over the course of a season, having that happen every day, you get pretty used to it, where, you know, it's kind of funny to see other teams try to deal with it. The hardest one is really when it comes over and hits the scoreboard and comes straight down on your setter's head. That's really the hardest one for you to get, because it's coming over things and around things. And
so can you set up something where you've got it hitting off the rafters?
Yeah, we can have a commercial.
Yeah.
We have a McDonald's commercial.
Exactly. With the next couple you were talking about, with these next two matches, it's still getting the chance to get in. Let's start off with Nebraska Kearney, a team that you haven't faced this year yet.
Nope.
But what will you see from them?
They have a strong foundation under them. Their coach has been there for a long time. and has done really well. They were in the RMAC before they joined the MIAA and would win, you know, that RMAC conference, you know, routinely, it seemed like. Last year they did well. I think they were tied for first within our conference. He was coach of the year. You know, he's going to put a good product out there. They know how to win, and you know, they're up there with Washburn and Central for sure. They're down from the standpoint of having experienced players on the court. They have a couple, you know, new people in there. So, you know, Lindenwood has beat them. They beat them 3-1. So, you know, we've studied that film and we've watched how they did it. It's really just about us playing well together and being solid. I think it helps when you've played Central also this week. I know that's a tough, you know, tough week for us, but we play Central well. We match up with them well, and I think that Kearney's not too far off of Central from the standpoint of what their systems are. There's going to be some things that we need to pay attention to, but I just want to see them compete. I want to see them, you know, when we went to Central, we competed, you know, and they took off at the end of the each set, you know, and the ones that we lost, but I felt like we competed, and really that's when you get into, you know, an upset situation where you're the underdog, you have to go in there and you have to compete. And then once you get in there, things are going to happen, you know. But if you don't compete, you're not going to have a shot. So that's really what we really focus on, them getting their minds right so they can go compete every point.
You mentioned tradition with Kearney. How important or how does good, solid tradition help in terms of building and continuing to have a strong volleyball program?
It's huge because the players are doing it, not the coaches. And when the players are driving that bus, it, you know, that helps you from a coaching standpoint. You don't have to do every single thing and move every single chess piece. It's something that the players are, you know, they have pride in, and they have standards that you're not telling them to do. Like, the peer leadership is the important thing that, you know, a strong foundation has, like our football team would have, you know, in a lot of the programs that are at Northwest. And so it's nice to have that help from within of consistency, knowing this is our system, this is what we do.
Does it make it easier for you as a coach to try to instill that in your team when you do see other programs at the same school with that same background?
It does. We've talked about the teams in our conference that are championship teams. What do they look like? What are they doing? What does their bench look like? You know, when during warm-ups, you know, what's their mentality? And it's something that, you know, I think it is, we've all already talked about grabbing film of opponents that we play, and to show our players this is what they're doing, this is what they're a champion team, this is what they're doing, and this is how they do it. And emulating is something I think when you're trying to build a program is, it's not copying, it's emulating. It's you know, the habits that you see them do, those are important. And it's just not about the X's and O's. It's really about the mentality that you bring into it. And it's, you know, when you're starting out a program and you're trying to build a foundation, it's a lot harder than when you have that foundation built and you're within it. You know, you've got to have a special group of players who are willing to bust down some walls and put a lot of effort and work into getting the program where you need it.
And now we talked about Nebraska Kearney. Look ahead a little bit for us too, Southwest Baptist. Yep. I know the first meeting with them had to have been frustrating, getting up early and then seeing it slip away.
Yeah, we were up 2-0 on them, and they actually changed their setter. And then we lost the next three, and it was a firestorm from the standpoint of them. And she really ignited them, and we struggled trying to find something that could, I mean, we competed the next three games, obviously, but they were just on fire offensively. SBU is a great blocking team. Interesting fact, the other night, Lindenwood played them, and Lindenwood was up 2-0, and SBU came back and beat them. They had a girl on their team who had 43 digs. And they had another person who had 30. When you're looking at libero's at 30, I mean, that's a good night. When you're looking at someone who breaks the single record, game record at 47, you know, each team had 120-some digs. And normally we're in the 60s, 70s, you know. And so it was a slugfest for sure. And, you know, for us, you know, SBU had 18 blocks in the match, which is a phenomenal number. And so, you know, really for us is understanding in respecting their block. They have a block, but it doesn't mean that you have to go away from it. So next week we have the whole entire week to prepare for SBU, and it will be, we have a grad assistant who is a guy And he will be putting up some huge blocks in front of them so that they can understand, mentally prepare, and feel confident when they walk in that match.
Talk about that. You touched on it, how you've got a full week to prepare. The last three matches you had 3 and 4 days, you know. And the schedule kind of plays like that in some spots where you pack a lot into a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better to have a little bit of time, especially late in the season like this?
Yeah, I think it is. I would rather have... I don't know what I'd rather have. I mean, we don't really have control over that. But I think it's nice to have a week, and we're at home.
Mm-hmm.
And we can really honor our seniors the whole entire week. And, you know, and that's something that we're planning to do as a coaching staff is, you know, to really take time each day, you know, to really honor them and to do it for them. And, you know, that's their last week of playing collegiate volleyball. And so I think that's what it affords us. You know, we're going to take whatever's given to us and make the best of it. And so with that week, one, we're really going to prepare for SBU, but two, also we're going to, you know, look at those seniors and give them a fitting farewell.
Let's start that now. Let's talk about those seniors and what each of them has meant to your program.
Yeah. Mackie Keller is from Kearney, Nebraska. She's a middle hitter for us. She transferred in from the School of Mines her spring of her freshman year, and she has done a phenomenal job with her work ethic. And you know, she didn't play very much her sophomore year, and she's played a really big role her junior and senior year on our program. This year she's been one of our captains, and she has been, you know, the vocal leader of our program. You know, the work ethic is the most important thing. You know, Trevor sat up here and gave a great interview. Mackie would do the exact same thing. You know, she's one of those well-spoken seniors that has her head on her shoulders, and she leads very well. And, you know, we're honored to have her, and we're honored that she's continued to work hard even though, you know, we haven't had the best season. And she's been the driving force to get this team, you know, to push on and to play for the next game. So, you know, hats off to her. And she's just improved tremendously. You know, there's not a bone in her that doesn't want to improve, and very coachable, you know. Second senior is Bridget Hannafin. She's from Clever, Missouri. She transferred from Tyler Community College. We had her junior and senior year. She played sparsely last year. She started out this year being our starting setter, and we're now into a 6-2, so she's obviously changed her role. Hasn't been selfish one bit with it. You know, she understands that it's for the team. You know, it's not fun in the middle of your senior year to go from, you know, being the quarterback to sharing it with someone. And I think she's done it, you know, flawlessly from the standpoint of getting our team where they need to be, focused offensively. Hard worker. She knows how to work hard. She gets in the gym and puts the effort in. She's been plagued with some injuries, you know, Achilles, where she can't really practice that much, but she's at practice. She's putting balls in. She's giving feedback. You know, you can have a choice. You have two choices. You can be bummed that you're hurt, or you can just make the best of it, you know, and she really has, and she goes in and does a great job setting-wise.
It sounds like it's a couple of seniors that have left or will leave important marks on the team.
Definitely. You know, when you're a senior, you're wiser, and they start, you know, you have these captains' meetings at the beginning of the year, and you continue to have these captains' meetings, and they become more and more like you, because they get your thought process, and, you know, they're older, wiser. They're talking about the freshmen being like, man, I don't even remember being a freshman. You know, and you just really, not that you don't enjoy spending time with all of them, but you really, really cherish those times with the seniors, because you have that same mindset. You know, they know what you're thinking, and you know what they're thinking, and it's been nice to be on the same page as them, and it's been, you know, an honor to have a weekly meeting with each of them every single week this season.
All right, Coach, well, good luck in the next couple of matches.
Thank you.
Hopefully there's more beyond that, but I know you guys want to take care of these two first and foremost.
Yep, thank you for having me.
That is Amy Wirth, the head volleyball coach at Northwest Missouri State. Again, they've got a couple of important home matchups coming up to close out the season schedule, the regular season schedule, Nebraska-Kearney on Saturday, and then Southwest Baptist on the 15th next week. We'll take a timeout and be back with more on the KXCB Coaches Show here at Carson's in downtown Maryville right after this.
Today's game is brought to you in part by Twaddle Realty in Maryville. As a United Country Realtor, Brian Twaddle provides real estate services for residential, farm, and commercial properties at 562-7562 or MarylandMoRealEstate.net.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Championship Motors in Maryville. Located at 1528 South Main Street, Bill McCulley and his team offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats is provided by East Hill Shopping Center at Frederick Boulevard and Belt Highway in St. Joseph. At 45 minutes from Maryville, East Hills offers new restaurants, including Five Guys, Panchero's Mexican Grill, and Golden Corral. More at shopeasthills.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information available at northwestbearcats.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. More at 582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's game comes in part from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is open 24 hours every day and now serves a limited breakfast menu beginning at midnight. McDonald's, located at the intersection of South Avenue and South Main Street in Maryville.
Back out at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. And joining us now is the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchma. And, Coach, I know it's always busy throughout the year, but with the crossover, basketball getting started here, obviously it's going to be a big weekend. And the fall sports, many of them with either trying to get into postseason play or a part of postseason play, that sort of thing. It's got to be a really hectic time right now.
Well, it really is, Matt. Last weekend, I think, was kind of, you know, the epitome of it. We had home soccer on Friday afternoon. We had home volleyball Friday night. We had football Saturday afternoon. We had home volleyball Saturday night. And then the exhibition basketball game on Sunday afternoon. So, keeps you busy, but those are fun events. And, we've got, Amy was just on talking about volleyball, and they still have a legitimate chance of getting in the playoffs. And, for those people that aren't going to make the trip to Emporia, we play Kearney here at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And Kearney is a very good team, but, we want people to go out and support them. Our volleyball team's been playing a lot better in the last few weeks, and so hopefully they can get a win.
And radios work inside Bearcat Arena, so
you can always listen to the Bearcat Network. That's exactly right. So that's good. You know, our cross country teams 2 weeks ago in the conference both ran pretty well. We had two individuals. Ann Herbert got fifth on the women's side, and we had Nolan Zimmer got sixth on the men's side. They run this weekend in the regionals. The NCAA regionals are in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So they'll have a challenge there. The top five men's teams and the top four women's teams move on to nationals. And, we have maybe an outside chance at those, but we also, both of those individuals have a chance. And we got basketball. Our men are in Marshall, Minnesota this weekend, play Upper Iowa, and then Southwest Minnesota State. Our women go to Quincy. So we got, we've got a lot going on, and it just kind of continues. And and obviously we hope there's a conflict with football for quite some time. So things are going well.
When you talk about a lot of this stuff taking place at home, games and matches and things like that, my guess is having the staff that you guys do in the department is important, because I know everybody gets stretched thin at those times, but it seems like they all enjoy it.
Well, they really do, and we've got a great staff, Matt. You know that. Mark Clemens has been there for, I think, 10 or 11 years, and Laurie Hopkins has been just about that long, and both of those, they've just been around. They know how to do things. Scott Nielsen, Nate Davis, both of those guys have been here. I think they're both on their third year now, so they really really understand, and they're great help. And then, you know, Andy Peterson's been a great addition, and then we've got Marshall Fay now with our media relations, and you know, we're a team. You know, the seven of us work together. We all have everybody has responsibilities, and the great thing is they're very good about getting things done. And you know, it's easy for me because they think of everything. I'm in a new role, and I remind them of that. You know, I'm used to just showing up. And, in football, you know, you just walk out in the field, and the officials are there, the crowd's there, the tailgating's over, you play, and it's a little different now. And but we've got a great staff, and they do a great job.
Well, Marshall has survived a couple of road trips with us so far, and we haven't driven him out. So,
well, he's, you know, so far he's unmarked, so he's doing pretty well, I think. And you know, he kind of looking forward to going to Emporia, so that's a good sign. So you know, you haven't done too bad.
Talk about Saturdays for you now. Obviously, it's a completely different role than coaching. Is it a little bit more relaxing now on Saturdays?
It is. You know, I still, when we're at home, I love to go to the pregame meal. You know, the highlight for me is just to hear the former players that coach brings back, and those are just great memories. And you know, they say a lot of the same thing, but they say it in different ways, and it just you know, it means a lot to our kids. Tailgating, I never knew there was such a thing as tailgating, and you know, that's become a pretty big deal for me. I've got kind of have my rounds. You know, I'm kind of disappointed now the home schedule's over. Hopefully we can get some playoff games at home, but I knew kind of where I was going to go, and I knew where, who had, you know, who had brats that were good, and who had this and who had that. And you know, when they offer you that food, you can't turn it down. You know, you want to make them feel good. And so by the time, you know, by the time I get to the stadium, I'm just ready to sit down and watch the game, and I don't have to eat or anything.
So. Yeah, it used to be that I put on like 40 pounds a season, but I haven't spent as much time at tailgates, so now it's just like 30 or something
like
that. Yeah,
well, it's it takes its toll, but that's really been fun. You know, you get to see the fans, and we just have great fans. And during the game, you know, I kind of I enjoy a little bit of time upstairs, kind of being not really by myself, you know, in the athletic suite. There's usually quite a few people there, but at least I can kind of enjoy the game. Once you get out of there, it's pretty hard to watch the game. I usually try to make it down on the field, you know, sometime in the fourth quarter, and that's fun to be down there. And, again, it's all our staff. You know, everybody takes care of, everybody has their responsibilities, and everybody does such a great job, so we can all work together. And, you know, when the game's over, we can feel good about what's happened.
Talk a little bit about, you know, when you look at this athletic department, you hear stories all across the country at all levels about different things going on, different programs getting in trouble. Doesn't seem like there's has to be a concern for you with the coaches you have on staff, the people that you work with. Does that make this job in general more relaxing, knowing you can trust the people that you've got?
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, and that was a big plus coming in, because I really knew basically just about everybody had been here. And we've got, you know, we just got a bunch of really good coaches. They're good people. They care about, number one, they care about the student athletes. And, they, you know, and that goes to what, you know, that's how we get Trevor Adams, guys, you know, guys like that. Good students, good character. And we've got a lot of those people on the men's side and the women's side. And so that makes that job that much easier.
And when the coaches band together, I know there are some departments where coaches don't necessarily get along, but it seems like for the most part you've got a group of coaches that really do get along, and that's got to help everybody.
Well, it really does. You know, I think I can say this. You know, we hired Michael, you know, Michael, after about 3 weeks here, he said to me one day, he said, you know, I just couldn't believe that everybody was so congenial. He said, but it's genuine. He said, everybody does really care about each other. And, you know, and you hear that from people that that's not the way it is at all places. And so, you know, we're really fortunate. But, it's because they really care. They care about their student athletes. They care about Northwest. They're here because they love Northwest. And then they care about each other. And that really just makes it that much more fun.
All right, Mel, well, we appreciate the time. I could sit here and talk to you all night. But
well, we better get AD on here. And he can get everybody squared away and ready for Saturday. We're looking forward to it.
All right,
Matt.
Thank you. you, Mel. That is Mel Churchman, athletic director at Northwest Missouri State. And as you mentioned, when we come back, we'll hear from Adam Dorrell, the head coach of the Northwest football team. We'll do that right after this timeout. You're listening to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Vaquero and Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information is available at 816-806-7777.
Today's game is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler, along with their wives Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Kent Peterson of Stanbury.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering. More information available at 660-582-4421 or online at agrestaurant.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Ground. Time now to talk Bearcat football with the head coach of the Bearcats, Adam Dorrell. And AD coming off a very good win last week, defeating Washburn University. I've been able to put some points on the board and hold down a pretty good offense as well.
Yeah, we did, John. I'm really proud of our kids and their effort. I thought we got off to a really fast start. You know, again, I thought we played really good on defense because I think if you look statistically, Washburn's played really well on offense all year, and I think they'll probably turn around and, you know, if their quarterback's healthy, maybe play good again this week. So just proud of our kids' total team effort, but I really thought we were led again by our defense, just really set the tempo and the tone for the rest of our football team in the entire game.
As many points as you've gotten out of the defense and special teams this year, how much easier does that make a football season when you know you're going to get some of that? And even when they're not scoring points, you just know they're playing well in general.
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it really helps our offense. I think if you look at our offense, it's a pretty, what I would term, mature offense, starting with our quarterback, and then we've got some senior linemen, senior receiver, senior tight end, senior running back. And the thing that I've really noticed is those guys don't press, especially at the quarterback spot. He's not throwing the football up for grabs. And a lot of times when you play in close games or games are tight, offenses sometimes have a tendency to do that. So we're really proud of our kids on offense because they just keep grinding away and they don't panic. And if we do have to punt, I mean, again, they understand that. You know, we feel like we have one of the best punters in the country. And so, you know, punting's not always a bad deal, but it's easier said than done sometimes with kids. They always want to go out and score, and they get that video game mentality going a little bit. But it's been pleasing to watch them grow.
Number of turnovers on Saturday that you were able to force and take advantage of, several interceptions. What are some of the things that going in that you felt maybe you could get an interception or two out of Washburn on Saturday?
Well, this time here, John, video, we've talked a lot about technology in the game of football has come a long way, and most of our kids have iPads and they all have computers, but that new huddle software, by this time in the season, you have every game on your opponent, and you can filter formations, you can filter pass routes, and just video study from our kids and our coaches. I think our defensive staff's doing a really good job of getting kids to pre-read patterns and look at patterns and pass routes based off formation, based off down a distance. But again, when you're this late in the season and you can see it, and it's just repetitive and repetitive, I think it's great. I think the other thing is our guys are doing a good job of getting quarterbacks off their first read. Again, that goes back to film study, understanding where he's trying to go with the football. And, you know, a lot of teams have a top or primary receiver, and naturally that's where your guys are going to look to the most. And I think we're doing a good job of getting the quarterback off his first read and making him throw. And by that time, I feel real strongly about our defensive line right now, and I think they're really getting in his face and getting around his feet and making him make bad throws.
Well, last week you played a team that had was great in turnover margin. This week you play another team that's real good in turnover margin. When you can force some turnovers against those teams, does that have more of an effect than it might on another team just because they're not used to that, having to go up against that?
Yeah, I think so. I think probably, I always say it, confidence is a fragile thing. And a lot of times guys come in the game and they're confident in what they've been doing, and they should be. And then, bam, here's a turnover, interception, first play of the game, and then interception. And then you're sitting there going, man, I got to be careful with them throwing the football. And you start throwing late, and then you start thinking about it. So, I think so definitely. And it's one of our primary goals this week. You know, we always have a couple keys to victory, but first and foremost is just win the turnover battle, find a way, because Poirier's been very good at it, and they're so dynamic on offense. We don't want to give them any extra possessions.
Now, Saturday's game, you had a little bit of a change, a last minute change in the kicking game, just due to Ventura and a little bit of an injury prior to kickoff time. And you're able to weather that pretty well on Saturday.
Yeah, I was proud of Simon. I was just talking here. It was a weird deal. He'd been over to pick a ball up in warm-ups, and his back locked up on him. And, about the last guy you expect to get hurt in a football game is the kicker, especially in pregame warm-up. And I knew it wasn't good when I walked into the training room, and we got a chiropractor in there. We got three team doctors, Kelly. And I just all had this grave look on their face, and I knew right then it probably wasn't good. So they couldn't get it calmed down. But, Simon, that's one of the great things about our football program and our kids. We really believe and buy into, next man up, and practice well, practice hard, because you're always one play away from being a starter. And I really feel like a lot of coaches talk about that, but I really feel like our kids buy into that. Man, he stepped up, and he had been a little sporadic because he hadn't kicked. He started kicking about 2 weeks ago again because he had been battling a little bit of a knee injury, and so came out, and I just thought he kicked really well. Obviously, his kickoffs could have been a little better. He was kicking them down Broadway, and, tough on your kick coverage team, but his PATs were good, and, he made, I think it was around a 25-yard field goal, and was getting good height on him. He wasn't kicking late, so you didn't have to worry about it getting blocked. And just very proud of him.
Now, you talk about you don't expect to see kickers get hurt in warm-ups. There's a couple years ago at Emporia, I believe, where they had their number one kicker go out, and they had a backup who was just kicked and kicked and kicked in pregame. We were watching him kick off, and then all
like
of a sudden,
an hour.
Yeah, and his last kick, he pulled a hamstring, and he'd be done. So they were down to their, I think they were trying, went to the crowd to find somebody to come out and kick.
Yeah, sometimes with kickers, you just gotta stop. You've had enough. Too much.
I saw some highlight video. Simon looks like a pretty good wide receiver, too.
Yeah, he got a chance. He's our first international kid, I think. Well, I take that back. Luis. We had Luis Berlanga. I always forget about Luis, being from Mexico. But since I've been here, Simon, I actually got to know Simon's national coach when I was over there in 2007. I did a coaching clinic in Copenhagen, and just got to know it. Lars, I can't even pronounce his last name, but I've always been in contact with him, and he's always tried to send me kids, and it just never works out. And Simon's a very interesting young man. He was actually born in New York, and then his family moved over there, but highly intelligent. Trilingual? He can speak three different languages. Yeah, I know. He starts talking, and I'd be quiet because I just let him do the thinking. But he's a highly intelligent young man, and it's just really been fascinating to hear him talk a little bit, talk to our kids about their education and stuff. So it's great to have kids like that. You can learn a lot from them.
And we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll talk with AD about the matchup with Emporia State, which is coming up on Saturday afternoon. That's back with AD right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee. Located at 1217 South Main, Hy-Vee offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191. Today's game is brought to you by Maryville State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal, providing insurance and financial services at 121 West Lincoln and behind Applebee's at 305 Larry Lane, 562-3882 or 582-3512.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups to oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or in shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's game comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville. Pizza Hut offers a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More online at pizzahut.com or in-store at 732 South Main in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery. Now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville, the Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
And welcome back to KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Along with Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey. AD's placing an order here. So
I'd give him a hard time, but I make sure I get here early. I've already been there, done that.
I tell you, I don't know what it's the weather. This time of year, man, it's like I just want to eat. My wife reminds me that's not good at my age.
Getting ready for hibernation.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what it is.
We got a big game coming up Saturday, Emporia State, the MIAA conference title essentially on the line here this Saturday.
Yeah, we're excited. I think we really haven't tried to approach it like that because we feel like with two games left and a lot of one-loss teams in our league, and so we've just really talked about trying to take the next step and get better, control our own destiny, go down and play on the road. It's going to be a hostile environment. I mean, you know, I did an interview with their radio people today, and, I've had a lot of respect for them. I've always liked them as competitors. I like their head coach, but, I mean, they're making no bones about it. They're saying it's the biggest football game in their program's history, and so, I mean, we better be ready when we show up when they're building it like that. I know it's going to be a great crowd, and our kids have embraced that a little bit, and we just talk about being road dogs when we go on the road, and it's kind of a good week to be on the road. Not a lot of distractions. We'll go to class on Friday, just stay in Topeka, and just really helps us get focused Friday night when all you're doing is eating, watching film, eating, watching film, and then doing some more eating with the big guys.
It's setting a trend here.
Yeah. Well, and I'll talk on the opposite side of that. I had a chance to talk with Coach Higgins, and I asked him about that because that's what us media guys like to do, you know, make it the biggest thing ever. Yeah. and of course, as a coach, he tried to play it down a little bit, which you would understand, you mentioned the players relishing this a little bit, knowing what it's on the line. Obviously, there's a lot on the line for you guys. There is a little bit of been there, done that, because you played in a lot of big games. So you kind of have to balance trying to get the excitement out of them between just trying to make it a normal game?
No, I mean, we're going to be plenty excited. I think the thing that we try to do is just, you know, focus on doing our 111th. And because to me, if you get too hyped up for a game like that, you can make some crucial mistakes in the first part. I mean, you know, look at Washburn last week early, and you don't want to do that. You try to get settled in and keep your emotions in check, and we'll be plenty jacked. I mean, our kids are very excited, and, you know, the one thing that just keeps coming back is, you know, we have this goal board, and it's elaborate, and it's huge, and, you know, we're going into week 10, and everything on that goal board is still alive and still in play, and kids have played football long enough to know that right now what we have is special. And we have something special going, and if we want to accomplish what's on there, we've got to take the next step, and it's going to be a big one. But I just try to stay in the moment a little bit and don't deviate from what you've done the last 9 weeks.
Emporia State's coming off a season last year where they experienced some success going into late in the season and then lost a couple of games late. How did last season help Emporia State as they prepare for what they are, as you said, billing as the most important game in their history right now?
Well, I think like us, I think, you know, they've got a lot of kids back off that last year's team, and just like we do, and it just helps your kids gain confidence when they've been in those big games before. They've had the good record, they've had the good season, and it just builds confidence in your football team. I think builds some continuity. I think it really helps you as a coach or coaches to, you know, kids believe in what you're doing, and so I'm sure they're getting, just like we are, a lot of carryover from last year.
And that's what makes this matchup fun, is that both teams do have a lot of carryover, have a lot of guys that know each other, and
have been there against each other before.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and they deserve to be where they're at. They've played. I mean, if you look at where, I mean, I don't know all the exact scores, but I mean they've played pretty well all year, you know, and they deserve to be where they're at, and, you know, their kids believe in what they're doing.
What are some of the things that make Emporia State so tough this year?
Well, I think start with their offense. I mean, they're the number one offense in the country. They're averaging around 560 yards a game, and very balanced between run and pass. I think they're right at 220 a game rushing, and so to me, a lot of what they do is run the football, set up some of their play action. But, you know, I was saying before I came on the air, their quarterback, he's just a sophomore. He's special for a kid being that young, doing some of the things that he's doing. And the thing that's difficult is it's not planned. You know, they're calling a pass play, the pocket's breaking down, and a lot of young guys, a lot of young quarterbacks, they just tuck it, take off running, and they panic. He doesn't do that, and he played at a very good high school football program in Oklahoma, and he's breaking contain. He's keeping his hand locked and loading. He's looking downfield, and he's looking to make a play down there. So that's what's scary, that he's doing that, and he's doing it consistently, and he's done it for 8 weeks for them, and not taking a lot of sacks. So I think those two things. And then they've got a couple of big play wide receivers, and they're throwing it around to them. You know, go to defense. I think the strength of their defense is that they're getting pressure with four down linemen. They're not having to blitz. They're very sound in what they're doing, playing a lot of quarters and two deep coverage. I mean, they have 17 interceptions on the year, and they're being very patient. They really tighten up towards the red zone, but they're not panicking.